Chris. How have you been?
I've been doing pretty good this week, actually.
Oh, you've been doing good for our new episode of Give Us the Launch Codes?
Yeah. You know, the Dodgers won the World Series again. Nice. Back-to-back champs. That feels good.
That was a good seven games.
Yeah. I think the silver lining for all the Dodger haters is that the Blue Jays made us work for that win. And
especially game one was shocked me, 11-2.
Yeah, that was like a wake up call.
And then that 18-inning one, and then
I stayed up all night to watch that one. I watched the whole thing.
No, that was a good seven games. I enjoyed every single one. That was great. Mm-hmm.
So feeling good about that. And then the day after, the Rams won. Granted, they were playing the Saints, more like the Aints. So
yeah, but the Rams are having a good season.
Yeah, they're
actually having a decent season. They're going to the playoffs.
If we can beat the 49ers, which you'll know by the time this comes out. If we can beat the 49ers and then we can beat the Seahawks the following week, oh yeah, we're getting that division for sure. Another awesome thing happened. Dick Cheney died.
Oh, yes.
Dick Cheney, literally, he died election day.
How old was he? Like, I was shocked
he's
still alive.
He was 84 years old. And you know why that makes me feel good?
He looked like that at 84?
Yeah. You know what makes me feel good? My grandfather was 86 when he died, and he did not have nearly the great health insurance that Dick Cheney did, so that makes me feel good.
Or horrid atrocities of evil. Isn't it funny how he dies, you hear all this outpouring of, like, mourning, of, like, you know.
No, don't got time for that.
No. Remember, it happened a little bit in the morning when he died. I remember people, you know, like, oh, you know, this is a great man. He did all this. What a patriot. And I'm like, really, Republicans? I remember about a year ago, you were shitting all over this man because he said, do not vote for Trump. Isn't it funny how it took him to die for you to be like this? Ah, he's going to be missed.
Oh, yeah. He endorsed Kamala Harris, and Kamala Harris treated that like it was a good thing. When I'm like, dude, this motherfucker should be rotting in The Hague right now. This guy's a fucking war criminal. The amount of blood this man has on that this man had on his hands.
But yeah, that's what's interesting. Like, they cared about him when he died, but not when he was alive, saying, hey, this isn't going well.
And then New York elected a Muslim mayor that night.
didn't another? Is that the only state that did that? I thought another state had also elected a Muslim representative.
I'm sure somebody did. That race.
Well, that was the most spotlight. The New York mayor race had the most spotlight.
Well, let's get right to it. We're reacting to this.
We're recording on November 5th, which is a Wednesday.
Yes, we're doing this the day after. This is Defecation 2025, where we bring you all the coverage of the elections, all the races that matter, aka the ones that we care about. Your number 67 source for election news.
Hey, it's better than 69.
Hey.
But yeah, no, I stayed up a little bit. I know you stayed up longer than me because I had work today. Mm-hmm. But it was just interesting when you hear, like, oh, Virginia. I'm like, really? I thought, okay. And then you hear, like, New Jersey, then New York,
yeah.
And then everywhere else. I'm like, wow, this was a wake-up call for people.
I call this a blue raindrop because when a raindrop falls in a water, it creates bigger waves. Can't quite call this a blue wave yet. We're going to save that for
next year. It's just the next day.
Yeah, this was like a massive rebuttal to Donald Trump, where anyone that could vote was basically the mentality is, you know, what do the Republicans want? Okay, so vote against that.
Very much.
And I'll give you an example of a race that I think symbolizes that. It was in Virginia, but it wasn't the governor's race. It was the attorney general's race.
That's right.
Democrat J. Jones won his seat. Is going to be the next attorney general for Virginia, despite the fact that he got into a scandal because somebody leaked his private text messages where he just casually fantasizing about shooting his political opponent. Don't do that, people. That is not a smart thing to do. don't even talk about that in person unless you can really trust your friend. But definitely don't put that in a digital forum. He did.
He's an idiot. It was a scandal statewide.
Yeah, that was really stupid
and
of him.
And a piece of shit.
And he still won because for the majority of voters in that particular race, that didn't matter. He wasn't a Republican, and we are not having that.
Travis, you're saying that a person running for office, an elected office, openly, publicly saying, I want to gun down my political opponents, and he still won.
Well, not openly, publicly, but...
But still, he still... Didn't we hear that from another guy who would openly want to kill his opponents, and he still won?
Well, yeah, and he did that on stage with cameras on him, and instead of in private text messages.
That's the difference.
Yeah. So maybe that's what helped people kind of look the other way on that. But yeah, or maybe even some people were just like, actually, this man is based. And I'm sorry. Where do I? Where in this am I supposed to feel bad about this guy?
Yeah. It was a crazy night. It was a sweepingly Democratic win across the country.
Yeah, we have two new blue governors, Abigail Spangberger of Virginia. She flipped the seat because it was held by Glenn Youngkin. I remember kind of being talked about as a bit of a MAGA head.
Okay,
like people were.
I
seem to remember in 2024 there was speculation that Trump would pick him for vice president. Obviously, that didn't happen, but that just kind of shows where he stood in that movement. And voters in Virginia resoundingly voted in a different direction. Same thing in New Jersey to replace Phil Murphy, Democrat Phil Murphy, Governor Phil Murphy, who termed out. They elected Mikey Sherrill, even though, like, in 2024, Kamala only won that state by, like, 6 points as opposed to Biden, who won it by, like, 16. And her opponent was Trump-endorsed. So it was, and there was close polling in that race that made people think, like, oh, it's going to be close, it's going to be tight. Not even. What was that, like, 14 percentage points that she won? It was like a fucking landslide.
I think it was actually 17. It was higher than that.
It was massive. Like, both those governors won in pretty decisive wins. There was no suspense about that at all. Oh, yeah, and then Democrats got a supermajority in the House of Delegates in Virginia, which is like their state assembly. Democrats in Mississippi broke the Republican supermajority in the state Senate by adding 3 more seats. Fucking Mississippi, which is like one of the reddest states there is, and yet they broke, you know, an electoral barrier there. That'd be like if Republicans like deadlocked the state assembly in California. Let's go in depth with what happened in our state.
We had our own
election. One we talked about before. Prop 50 to redraw the congressional maps to add more Democratic seats as a way to counterbalance Texas doing the same thing to benefit Republicans for 2026.
And that one, landslide.
2-1 margin, yeah. pretty much.
I heard it was like, wasn't it like almost, it was like 58, maybe even 67%. No, it was 67% to 32%.
Yeah, it was like a total, like a 2-1 ratio, basically.
Yeah, it really was.
And
it wasn't even like a conversation, if you think about it.
No, like, it was even funny. Like, the polls were, like, overwhelmingly for it going in.
It was like the first World Series game.
It was. It was
just a beatdown.
We won't talk about what happened after that. And I gotta say, I'm sorry, because when I talked about this last, I really thought that was going to be a more tense race. I thought the yes on 50 side was going to have a tougher argument to make, and that it was going to be an uphill battle. I really thought, like, you know, the no on 50 crowd was going to have an advantage, and boy was I wrong.
I think we both were, because I thought it was going to be the same way. I think what happened in our state of California reflects the rest of the country. I didn't think it'd be like this.
No.
Just across the board. Everything was a landslide victory.
Testament to the Democrats for basically pulling out all the stops on that.
And which it didn't feel like it to me, right? Did you think? I didn't think they were.
I mean, they got... Well, look, in the commercials leading up, of course, they had Gavin Newsom appear in the commercials. They got Obama.
No,
they got Elizabeth Warren. They got AOC.
Well, they got a lot of people, yeah.
They got, like, big Democrat figures to show up for Prop 50. I think that worked.
It must have. Because to me, watching it on TV when I'm with my dad just watching sports, I'm just like this. To me, this is like every commercial I see every year, every 4 years, every 2 years. I just didn't think it was like more than the average. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it was. This is like, all right. It's a wake up. It's a big ringing of a bell.
I don't even think Kamala Harris won California with that large of a margin. Who, by the way, Kamala Harris did not show up in those commercials at all. Found that very interesting.
She
wants to run for 2028.
She sucks, dude. It just shows like, you.
A big win for Gavin Newsom, I'll tell you that. This is like the biggest victory. This is bigger than any time he was actually elected for governor, and
yes,
that includes the recall. Like, this is probably his biggest political victory ever.
And it's been interesting to see the reaction of the Republicans who lost, because first of all... It baffles my mind when anyone speaks about themselves in the third person. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Trump's response to the loss, because it was it wasn't just one, like I said, it wasn't one state, it wasn't one city, it was across the board, countrywide. His Truth Social post was, and I shit you not this, and maybe it's just maybe it says something about me that sometimes what he texts and tweets baffles me. Are you ready?
Yes.
His response to the big loss for the Republicans. And I quote, "Trump wasn't on the ballot and shutdown were the two reasons that Republicans lost the lost elections tonight," end quote.
I won't say there's no truth in that statement.
I think there's truth in that statement. First of all, it's just, again, third person. Wow. I've just fucking Jesus. But there's two things I think about when I see that you can think about for both sides of this political coin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one, Trump wasn't on the ballot. As a for Democrats, when you hear like, "Oh, I wasn't on the ballot, that's why you guys won," so it's like, so the only thing they got to worry about, the only thing Democrats have to worry about is then just presidential election, right? You can win everything else. Is what you're, what he's telling them is that, oh, if my name's not on the ballot, Democrats will win. I'm like, well, your name can only be on one thing. And then two, him saying, "Oh, since I wasn't on the ballot for the mayor of New York," or Virginia or Missouri, everything that was up for grabs.
Yeah.
Since I wasn't on that, that's why Republicans lost. I'm like, oh, he doesn't think of himself as Chancellor Supreme or as Emperor. He thinks of himself as fucking Brainiac when he has a whole planet under his control. It's like, dude, you can't do all of it. Do you want to do all of it?
I think it also says something that Trump is like a one of a kind. And it almost kind of reveals like that the MAGA movement is like inherently vacuous, and it's only about one guy. You know, when Trump goes, when the Lord decides it's Trump's time, the MAGA movement dies with him, and then it'll turn into something else.
I'm glad you said that, because my second thought is for Republican voters is like this: okay, what's your plan when this guy dies? He's not 60. He's not even 70. Like, he's old. He's not a young guy anymore. So that's why you saying that. Then now I'm thinking as for Republicans, what's your plan when he dies? There's still just three more years of his presidency. There's talks of him running again. Whether he does or not, he could croak at any time just because of age.
Oh yeah,
and because also too, this job wrecks you. We see it on him physically, his health, everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like, yeah, that's another thing. It's like, he's not in the best of health.
No.
You
know, no president at the end of the first 4 years was. Look what happened to Bush. Look what happened to Obama.
Oh, yeah. Remember when Obama had color in his hair? And 4 years in, it's just gone.
And then remember what everyone said? Oh, but damn, black do crack as a president. Like, that's the one time black cracks is as being president. It shot at the end of at year seven. That's what everyone was talking about with Obama, of like, oh my God, this job is actually like soul sucking. It's like, yeah, no, it's a fucking crazy. You'll get 4 hours of sleep a day, maybe.
Yeah.
If you're lucky. So this is interesting to see now. And then now he brings up the shutdown. It's like this. That's on you.
Yeah. You're the president, and your party controls the legislature. And also, you decided to be extra cruel into halting SNAP benefits for furloughed federal workers. And, you know, there are people that work for the federal government that, like, live paycheck to paycheck. The paycheck's coming in. How are they going to get their groceries? Yeah. The whole point, there's this, they're trying to make it seem like, well, the government shut down, that's why SNAP is not working. That's not how SNAP works. SNAP is supposed to be there when this happens, too. But him just being like, nah, you can't do that. He had to have a federal court order him, no, you got to do that. And then he's trying to defy that court order. And it's like you're literally starving people. We're seeing fucking bread lines in some places again. Like, it's the Depression because of you.
And your own military isn't getting paid because 130 million will not pay for the whole military.
It's like gone in a minute.
It's gone in a second.
Yeah.
And then also, too, it's very... more telling, which I guess it shouldn't be surprising at anything again he does, but we've seen this over the past, 10 years. Mm-hmm. He throws a Gatsby-themed party bash.
Yes.
And it's like, dude.
Yeah, like...
Dude.
Yeah, yeah. And he took the time because now that the government shut down, he can get away with it, even though technically the way he got this to happen is illegal. He's just like, oh, I'm going to remodel the White House and add this big lavish Epstein ballroom.
Don't you love that when it was asked about, hey, when your friend passed, was murdered, how was that on you? That was tough. It was tough. By the way, we're building this big ballroom. It's like, dude, how tone deaf is, like, wow. It just shows you.
Oh, yeah. He and the Republicans are acting... They're acting like, well, here's the glass half full version. They're acting like they want to lose the midterms. They're like just saying, we don't want to win the midterms. Take back the House, take back the Senate. Go ahead, take it all. Of course, the glass half empty argument, the glass half empty view of this is they're acting like they're not intending on having elections in 2026.
This isn't bothering them. This affects their voters. This is affecting what happened last night is affecting their voters.
Yes.
Their people.
Yes, exactly.
But those who are having a seat at the table making orders and, you know, have power.
The suits.
They're just like, yeah, the suits. This is just like this. All right. And
we're gonna send National Guards troops everywhere. We're gonna ICE disrupt polling places. I think we need to seriously talk about that. As
you mean the open threat he made about New York? Yes.
Oh yeah, like we I think we should be talking about, like, this is my
their
tinfoil
actual
hat,
reaction.
Like,
the reaction
that this is part. Mm-hmm. They're setting up like a way to disrupt and sabotage 2026, and they're very much acting like they're not concerned with losing in 2026 at all. Like, they're not trying to appeal to voters.
Nope.
They're not trying to, like, nope. You know, they're paying attention to what, you know, people are responding to. I mean,
well, let's take it seriously here. Okay. For about a couple weeks now, he has openly threatened if Mondami wins. Let's just talk about one city, just New York.
Yeah.
He has openly said if he wins, I am not only going to cut all federal aid. Now he's backtracked and said, I'll just give the bare minimum. I am sending in National Guard. I'm sending boots.
Yes.
And I'm like this. This guy wins. We could see on the news a city sieged, under siege, because Manhattan has what? Let's 20 million people. That's a rough estimate. Let's just say 20 million on that island. The island is not big when you think about it size comparison wise. It's not a big island.
No.
And you can easily surround that island. That island can be easily surrounded. It can't. No, it can. Look, it's an island surrounded by water. Ships can surround it. I mean, I hate to say it, but we saw in The Dark Knight Rises, even though, yes, New York City was in place for Gotham, for like the wide panning shots. Yeah. Not that hard to besiege that island, to siege it.
Yeah, but okay.
I'm just saying, like, because he threatened
it. It's a big logistical thing, because you got a lot of people. New York is the most populated city in the United States.
In the world, almost.
It's very dense. I think Tokyo outnumbers it in the
damn,
world.
Damn, really?
I think
that's
Tokyo
awesome.
Has more people, but that's... in the United States, yeah, it's the most populous city. It's extremely dense. The logistics are going to be a nightmare because it's there's the matter of like, how are you going to house these people? Because that's something we always forget is like, all right, you're going to send National Guards troops. Where are they living? Where are they sleeping? How are you feeding them? And then how are you going to get the supply lines?
How are you going to blockade and put roadblocks on all those bridges, subway tunnels?
Yeah.
The ferries. Are you going to shut everything? Basically, you have to shut the whole island down. You'd have to blockade it.
Can you imagine like the economic calamity that would create?
Oh, it would cost about, I guarantee you, $100 billion would be spent in 4 days.
Like
Maybe three days.
Like the stock market would, the global stock market would probably dip, probably recede just because
and
of that.
And then knowing the crazy stories we've heard from about just New York lifestyle in general from, you know, New Yorkers are crazy. It'd be just block by block street fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be insanity. So that's why I'm like, what we're getting at, folks, here is just victories happened last night. Now it's about, okay, what happens next? Not only the reaction from Republicans who have, again, threatened to do X, Y, and Z if this happens, which it has, but two, hopefully now those who have gotten elected, you have work to do. The easiest part's done. This was the easy part. Electing was getting, as we've seen numbers-wise, polling-wise, getting elected was easy.
Okay.
Your hard work has got to be done now, and you're going to have a lot harder work because you have one side saying, well, we told you what would happen if this happened, and we've got the manpower to do it.
You got the manpower. Do you have the willpower? That's the other thing.
I think they do because, hell, we're threatening the rest of the world with war.
Do you have the collective willpower, though? Because that's another thing. It's like this isn't DHS where you can just get ICE to do, like, you know, ICE is completely made up of Proud
they
Boy
will,
types.
They will, though.
But, like, the military, like, you can... How many National Guard generals are going to be totally on board with just, you know, occupying, sending troops to American cities?
We've said it before, though. They're following orders, so you can't trust it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I mean, we had a Navy admiral just resign because he didn't want to shoot at Venezuelan boats anymore.
Good.
And so, like for that alone, and that's like for like foreign shit. So here,
who knows? Hey, but I'd say this: you say for here compared to foreign shit, seems like for here though we hate each other more. So who knows? We'll see. I'm hoping it's just a lot of yelling and shouting in our capital, in our nation's capital.
And Trump's been known to chicken out on things.
You told me, yeah. What do you call it? Taco?
Yeah. Yeah. Trump always chickens out. Taco.
Taco sound good right now.
I want to talk more about that New York race because it says a lot about everything. It really says a lot about where Democrats are at. Their voters versus the party. As an institution. So,
oh, yes. I know what you're getting.
So
okay. I know what you're getting
at. I guess we'll kind of give a summary on what went on with that race. So Eric Adams, the incumbent mayor. First of all, New York is a very blue city. If you want to actually win an election in New York, unless you're from Staten Island, unless you're representing like a local seat in Staten Island, I guess. But if you want to win a citywide election in New York, you have to be a Democrat, which means you're going to probably, it's just like in California, when you're running for governor or statewide office in California, you basically have to be a Democrat in order to actually win an election, which means you could be vulnerable. The party could be vulnerable to some wolves in sheep's clothing. And Eric Adams very much was that. In any other state, Eric Adams would have been a Republican. He's like a pro-cop conservative type, but he got elected and served as in 2021, served a term as mayor, a capitulator to Trump policies in a lot of ways. And also the dude is just fucking corrupt. He actually got indicted last year because, get this, I don't know if you've heard this, he got indicted because he got bribed by the Turkish government to try to bypass red tape so that they could build a big hunkin' skyscraper embassy for Turkey.
Fucking
which
hell.
Is, you know...
Wow.
So many laws broken.
There's just so many things with that.
And he got indicted. But then Trump came into office again. in 2025. He was when he was inaugurated, and he pardoned Eric Adams. He pardoned the mayor of New York, and despite New York being a Democrat city, as Trump would put it, Trump had never had a bad thing to say about Eric Adams. Eric Adams was kind of a team player with him. Like, oh yeah, even though we're a sanctuary city, yeah, I'm going to let ICE come into New York and wreak havoc and kidnap people and do all of that. New York Democrats considered Eric Adams persona non grata. The one time Eric Adams read the room where he decided he was going to run as an independent, not as a Republican. So the Democrats had an open primary. This young assemblyman, who's now 34 years old, he just recently turned 34, from the Astoria district in New York City, decided, I'm going to run for mayor. He's a Democratic socialist. He was running on a platform of, let's have, fare-free buses. Let's have
cheaper groceries
with publicly funded grocery stores, affordable housing, so that New York City is not just a playground for rich people. Like,
it's fucking crazy expensive there. It's stupid. New York's stupid.
God damn. The rent's stupid. Yeah. As symbolized by his promise of a rent freeze. So, interesting to see how that's gonna come. And he basically, it was a crowded field, and he basically took that primary by storm to the point where all the moneyed interests in the Democratic Party were like, hey, let's see if we can pull a 2020 Biden move. Let's get an establishment figure that everyone recognizes. Now, here's the thing. That worked for screwing Bernie in 2020 because people actually liked Biden. He's the vice president of the most popular outgoing president.
Vice president for 8 years.
Yeah. So, like, that worked for Biden. They picked Andrew Cuomo, who was the former governor of New York and resigned in disgrace because he was a fucking sex pest. Let's get that guy.
whose response to that, remember, was, it's Italian.
Oh, yeah. He said, I'm not a pervert. I'm just Italian. That was his initial response.
Yes.
Which sounds like a confession of anything. Now he denies everything. But he got, like, fucking sued for that. It wasn't just, like, allegations of floating
the press. No, it was legit.
Yeah, women legit sued him for that. Oh, let's get that guy to run for mayor. And Cuomo struts in. He's got all the money behind him. He thinks this election is his. He thinks he's entitled to the mayoral seat. Like, I got the experience. I'm going to make my comeback. Maybe after 8 years, I can run for president. You know, this is my ascendancy. I have my redemption arc. But New Yorkers, they remember. They have very strong memories, unlike the vast of the American electoral population.
New York City is a very specific. It's like, it's one of those rare. It's like, it's like the equivalent of Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa Bay. Like, it's very specific people. It's very, very, every state has that one city where it's just like, there's no other place in the world like it, and it's a good thing, kind of thing. Like, they're very fickle.
There was a weakness, there was a perceived weakness that Mamdani had, which was...
He can't bench.
No, it's that he thinks that Palestinians deserve human rights in the Holy Land.
What a fucktwad.
What... Human rights in Israel? No. Surely in the city with the highest Jewish population in the world, that political position will never pass. Oh, and on top of that, you know, let's set the stage. Let's make sure we insist that, you know, Jewish Americans also predominantly vote Democrat. So you can bet there was a lot of them voting in that Democratic primary where only Democrats could vote, which means whoever wins the primary is the representative for the Democratic Party, meaning that is the candidate that Democrats want. Zohran won that race by double fucking digits. Yeah. He was the resounding victor. And did the Democratic establishment embrace him with open arms? No. Chuck Schumer never endorsed him. Hakeem Jeffries only endorsed him like 2 weeks before the election. He said that, like, in a way that, like, a child would apologize for saying a bad word in front of his mommy because daddy told him to do that. Like, I'm sorry, mommy.
I'm sorry I said
tell
cunt.
Tell you you're sorry. Bend the knee. And so, yeah, so he's the Democratic nominee. He's going to run against Curtis Sliwa, who's kind of a joke candidate anyway. And presumably he's going to run against Mayor Adams. But then Cuomo's like, I'm not done. And I got money, so I can just run as an independent, right? Right? Yeah. And he, oh man, they called Mamdani, who's
everything under the sun.
Yeah, he's a communist jihadist. He wants to kill all the Jews because he has very reasonable criticisms about Israel. So obviously that means he hates the Jews. They did everything under the sun. They made creepy AI-generated commercials for Cuomo, which I think is a harbinger of terrible things to come. That actually legit scared me.
Even if Cuomo did everything he could think of, just be a dick. Really, just being just a shit on this guy. Even though he basically never left his little office chair desk to like go out and talk to people, Cuomo never went down with the commoners and shake hands.
Or if he did, he kind of acted like he wasn't comfortable to be out in public like that. Yeah, you know, he only recently moved to New York City just so he can run. Yeah. He's like living from his daughter's apartment or something.
Yeah, and it's funny. And when you look at the whole thing, like we were saying, the big thing though that got people to, well, in the end, vote for this guy who won, is he said one simple thing to a very stupid fucking question. As mayor, will you go and visit Israel? What did the other one say? Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What did he say? It was great. Well, no, I'm going to stay here in my city and help out New Yorkers because I'm a New York mayor. I want to be the mayor of New York.
He said, I'm not running to be Secretary of State.
I'm running
to be mayor of New York.
And I'm like this, yes, because not even a governor should go to fucking Israel. No one except the cabinet needs to go to Israel.
Mamdani is so, in a lot of ways, I think he's smarter at this like left-wing populist thing than Bernie was because he doesn't talk like he's lecturing you. He doesn't talk like he's
wagging the finger.
When he talks about what he does, it's not like a moralistic thing where it's like, this is what we have to do. It's the right thing to do to challenge the oligarchy. No, he says, actually, no, my ideas can work. My ideas can work. Here's how they can work. Let me explain to you how they can work. He can explain it very succinctly. In a way that doesn't make you feel stupid. And the counter argument was, oh, you can't do that. Vote for me. I have experience. I can get something done.
You're saying the way he was talking to his voters, his people, to be mayor, was interesting. Basically in the way, because again, oh no, a Muslim's a mayor now. You mean like how Jesus would talk to people, like, hey, we can do it this way. We could try this way. Let's do this. Not, you know, wagging the finger, talking down to you.
I mean, that's a very lofty comparison,
Tom. No, I was just saying, because they're just shitting on the thing everyone across this country is so worried about for New York is like, oh, there's a Muslim. God, now New York's going to get flooded with Muslims now.
Yeah,
it's like this.
Which that's another thing that was shocked me. It was like, it really exposed that we have not really moved past the anti-Muslim hysteria of 9/11, and that the Democrats are complicit in that as well.
Yeah, that's why I brought up the whole thing in comparison how he's, you're saying how way he was delivering stuff, talking to people. Interesting how it's like he has ideas that are very like, yeah, this is how humanity should be treated. Like one dude thousands of years ago tried to do and he got fucking killed for. It's just like interesting, but you guys shit on this guy because he's a Muslim.
Yeah, and then he would like, when he would do interviews, like, I don't know if you saw, I've seen clips of his interview with, I think, what was it called? The Flagrant podcast Andrew Schultz.
I didn't see it, but I heard, yeah.
And he's just like, he's just one of the guys. Like, I mean, that joke that he made about Bill Ackman, billionaire Bill Ackman, spending more money to attack him than Zoran would tax him.
He knows what to do, and he doesn't take it seriously. It's just in a good way smart. He's not, you know.
He's not like Kamala Harris, where every time you see her in an interview nowadays, she's like, she gives like the vaguest answer possible and doesn't actually say anything and sounds like she's uncomfortable to be there to pretend to be a person. No, she's just a person. And then meanwhile, Cuomo is like kind of irritated. He sounds like he's irritated to have to campaign at all.
Yeah.
He's like, just what? Why can't you just... I'm the son of I'm Mario Cuomo's son, okay? Just give me the mayor's seat. It's not fair. I'm owed this. Yeah, he won over 50% of the vote.
Yeah, and now...
Which means that even if everybody dropped out and rallied around Cuomo...
Nothing would... Yeah.
He would still win.
All I gotta say is, you, Mondami, you won. You better keep your promises and work your ass off.
Yeah,
don't back down, because the thing about people getting from the beginning, all you heard was like, "Oh God, socialism! Oh God, fuck, shit! Oh God, I'm like this." Socialism has failed in human history because those people were pieces of shit and evil in the end. Socialism is just this: hey, wouldn't it be nice if the most basic needs to live were just cheaper? Mm-hmm. Or close to free. That's it. That's all that is. It's not this whole thing of like, we're going to take everyone's money. We're going to shit on every, you know, it's going to be this horrible dictator. It's like, that's not socialism. The people who did that in the past in other parts of the world were fucking assholes and evil. Go fuck them. Yeah. That's why socialism and communism is a failure, is because those people were evil, like Russia and China. Real socialism is just, wouldn't it be nice if like a bottle of water was just a quarter instead of like, you know, $2. Wouldn't it be nice if healthcare was at least $100 cheaper? Like, and that's a compromise. It should be free, but wouldn't it be nice if it was just $100 cheaper? Your
wouldn't
fucking
it be nice
COVID?
If I didn't have to go bankrupt over healthcare?
Or worse, wouldn't it be nice if like, hey, I found out this, like, you know, my wife has cancer, and my one thought isn't, oh my God, my wife has cancer. Okay, not, it's more like this. Fuck, how do we pay for that? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if groceries... And by the way, I'm not talking about alcohol, soda, bags of chips, cookies. I'm talking about bread, fruit, and meat. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking ribeye steaks either. I'm talking like just ground beef. Like the simplest shit. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice if it was just cheaper? That's socialism. It's just, wouldn't it be nice if the things that you need to literally live as a human from day to day, hour to hour, meal to meal, were just... cheaper. Is that how is that such a baffling thing to wrap your head around? It's just that's all that is. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to make stuff cheaper to free for the basic necessities.
Yeah.
I hope it works out. But the thing is, New Yorkers, for his shit to work, not only does he have to work his ass off, you have to work alongside with him.
And the state government has to work alongside
it. It takes everyone.
And I'm hoping that
they do.
Mondani.
Because it work. It could work. It,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be great? Because
you got to get those funds from somewhere.
But you said it too. This only works if everyone follows along.
Yep.
This will all fail. All his ideas will crumble to the fucking ground if one person fucks it up.
Yeah.
And it's not just him.
And I'm really hoping that he can put the bully pulpit pressure on Governor Kathy Hochul, who, by the way, was Cuomo's successor, and she did endorse him, but probably because she kind of had no choice. He was the only option, and she read the room better than U.S. Senate Democratic Party leader Chuck Schumer did, which is to see, be like, okay, yeah, he's the guy. We have to rally around this guy. He's what gets our voters excited. This will help us electorally. Whereas Schumer is like, well, every time Schumer was asked, are you going to endorse Mondani? He just says, I'm talking to him and we're going to keep talking. And he just keeps repeating that. Like, that is going to be enough to shut people up.
It's not.
God. I know we have to wait till 2028. I hope he gets primaried so hard. I think that's what AOC is getting ready for. I just sort of certain things that AOC's been doing the past couple of years, I'm like, I think she's gearing up for a Senate run. Some say presidential. I don't think she's there yet. I think someone has to primary Chuck Schumer in 2028. He's been at that job too long that he's not going to retire on his own. I think someone has to primary his ass.
It could happen.
This whole, I hope so.
This whole last night showed a lot of stuff has just been is a complete change, a complete wake up for everyone on every side. Yeah.
But in the meantime, Mamdani should probably, since Kathy Hochul endorsed him and tied herself to him, he's going to have to put the pressure on, being like, okay,
time to work.
It's your turn. Yeah. You got to help me out. You got an election next year too. I can help you. I can endorse you. I can get the votes for you, but you gotta help me out.
The whole entire city of New York now has to actually work at this, because it can. The thing is, this could show not just the country but the world that this shit can work. And the reason why it hasn't been for so many fucking decades is because those in charge just want a fatter wallet. New York's rent is disgusting. Here's the thing. In the movies growing up, when you see, like, just, you know, what people walk around in New York, because, like, we've talked about in the past, a lot of TV shows are in New York.
Yes.
It looks like a fun city to visit. It looks cool. But when you hear about how much the rent is, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, why are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? It's like, God, I can't even imagine, like, food, just anything there, how much it's like, hey, this guy's trying to make it livable again, like, back before. It'd be nice to see. New York is a big hub that connects to the rest of the world, like San Francisco's harbor. Yeah. It's New York City is the United States of America's east side port to the world, mm-hmm. for everything. It's the biggest hub. No other dock, no other harbor on the East Coast has that. It's New York City. This is the chance to, like, change it again. First of all, there's a lot of cleaning up to do, not just bringing down prices, but yeah, you do have to clean up the crime. You got to clean up homeless. You got to get stuff better. Mm-hmm. But it takes everyone. Just because this guy won, don't think it's all on his shoulders in the sense of he's doing all the work. You got to work with him now, people. Like you said, the lady you said for governor,
Kathy
Hochul, you got to work with him. The voters who voted for him, you got to also now do the work with him. If he says, hey, if you want his ideas to work, and he says, okay, now we're going to do this and this and this, you better do it.
And you have to, like, be patient, too, because this stuff is not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be, I worry there's going to be maybe some lefty dissent if he has to make, like, a conversation.
By Thanksgiving.
Like, he has to do the job now. You have to work with him. And, yeah.
Patient.
And also, like, probably by the first term, it's highly unlikely he's going to get everything he promised done. But isn't it nice to have a guy who tries?
He's trying to do what you want to make your city basically livable again. Livable. Safe, livable, enjoyable, where kids can then go and grow up again like back in the day. Yeah. But the thing is, you got to not only have patience, you also have to work with him. And listen, if you vote for someone, you can't ignore him now.
Yep.
Your guy won. You have to work. I think voters don't have this mentality of like, oh, I voted for him. Okay, he's going to do it all for me. No. No.
Yeah.
It takes everyone still. He's just leading the way.
Another broader impact that I think we're gonna see affect Democratic politics more so now is the Israel thing. Now, Mamdani did his best to make Israel not a central tenet of his campaign. He was very smart to do that, but that didn't stop every fucking reporter that interviewed him from being like, now some people are concerned about your views on Israel and stuff like that. And what was nice is that he didn't back down from them. He wasn't afraid to call what happened in Gaza a genocide. He wasn't afraid to call what's been going on in the West Bank an apartheid system. He was smart enough to be like, you know, yeah, I have criticism of Israel. I can't do much about that from here. Although it'd be pretty based if the next time Netanyahu speaks at the UN, he arrested him. That would be that would actually be pretty fucking awesome. You know, he's like, I can't do much about that from here. What I can do is make this city more livable. Yes, we have a big anti-Semitic hate crime problem here. We have an Islamophobic hate crime problem. You know, I got an actual plan. It's like some sort of $8 million, like, anti-Semitism, legislation that he was planning on putting forth in the city council and something like that. So, and he was the only one who said, hey, I actually have a policy down to work on that. And no one else did. Everyone just said, ah, you Hamas. And I think like the rest of it, even when he answered, when he was asked, do you believe Israel has a right to exist? He said, as a democratic state, which if you ask any liberal Zionist, they would tell you, like, yeah, Israel's a democracy. They would say, yeah, of course Israel is a democracy. We'll leave out the fact that the West Bank can't vote despite being under Israeli occupation. But Israel functions like a democracy. It's a democracy. He's like, okay, you know, I'm calling your bluff. I think Israel should be a democracy too. And then, whoa! I mean, Andrew Cuomo tried to use that against him. He's like, hey, he didn't say it should exist as a Jewish state. He didn't say it should exist as an ethno-state. He's like, yeah, he said it should exist as a democracy. It's very telling that you have a problem with that. It's very telling that anybody has a problem with that. I think a lot of voters, Jewish or not, a lot of voters are like not totally concerned as much as we politicians pretend they are, not totally concerned with what happens outside of the United States. And yeah, they're probably asking, what is with this obsession with Israel? Why do they have so? Can we stop asking about this?
Stop getting also involved too. Yeah. Isn't it interesting how this tiny part of the world has such a hold on our country?
It's our favorite military base.
Isn't it just fucking insane? Because it's just like it's on. It's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we involved? And I mean, and I know
we like that oil.
We must, it must, and I get it. Like, okay, if you hear across, you know, the world, wow, there's a horrible atrocity happening. Is there anything we can do about it? Because yeah, you want to help out other people. At the same time, though, it's like this: is it maybe the fucking real answer is let them fucking figure it out. Just back off. If it gets worse, we'll know. Like, we'll know if it like bleeds into Europe. Like, really. Like, if it's staying in this one central, tiny part of the world. Rest everyone else, like to everyone surrounding it, even the other Muslim countries, just fuck off. Let them kill each other at this point, because this is not our problem. This is getting insane. Let them handle it. I hope, and I know when I say let them kill each other, I'm not saying it flippantly or like go fuck themselves. I'm more like, this is their thing. It's how has it bled into our lexicon as Americans?
I mean, I would say a lot of the reasons why things are the way they are at this point, we can't really detach ourselves because it's like, well, we've enabled this for a while in one way or another. But at the very least, it would be nice to not be complicit in those, to have my tax dollars complicit in that sort of thing. This is a sign, I mean, we could call this maybe the Mamdani effect or the October 7th effect, whatever. But like, you're seeing Democrats making an effort to distance themselves from mostly AIPAC, the American Israel Political Action Committee, who's kind of like the most prolific pro-Israel lobby group. Seth Moulton, U.S. representative from Massachusetts, he's planning on running for Senate in 2026. And when he made the announcement he was running for the Democratic primary there, he made a point to say, I am returning all my AIPAC donations. I'm distancing myself from them. Now, he was like, don't worry, I'm pro-Israel, but I'm also anti-Netanyahu, and AIPAC is very much in the Netanyahu camp. So I think you're going to start seeing, and there, he's not the only one, but he was like the big kind of shot heard around the world on that.
Okay.
I think you're going to start seeing a lot more of that. Hopefully by 20, if there is an election in 2028. Hopefully, Democrats by then Democrats running for president will see that as like a liability. Like, oh wait, I can't be associated with Israel stuff. Because I think the tide is really turning on that. I think the New York and the election of Zohar Mamdani has proved that. It's like I think most New Yorkers don't give a shit. And that would include like probably a big chunk of I don't know if it's the majority. I don't know if those stats are out, but a big chunk of Jewish New Yorkers who make up 12% of that city's population. So very much, you know,
It's a New York. Well, it's a New York mentality. We don't give a fuck outside of what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, this is our city.
And Democrats are going to have to grapple with that. If they want electoral sense in success in certain races, they might have to jettison Israel involvement.
I wanted to get your opinion, too, on another thing that we will be seeing now as the effect of Mamdani winning in New York. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, I don't know if you know this, what he recently just said today of time of recording. And I swear to God, this is what he fucking said. And it's very telling. Any Mamdani refugees who come to Texas will get a 100% tariff.
Wait, he's punishing New Yorkers for leaving?
Any New Yorkers who are leaving now, which he assumes anyone leaving New York now is because they're trying to get out of New York before it goes to hell, because Mamdani won, will get a 100% tariff put on them.
Wait.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
But the fact that he's calling them Mamdani refugees too. Just think about wordplay.
Oh yeah,
there's also the fact that
language involved.
Yeah, no, he wants to put 100% tariff on anyone moving to Texas from New York, and other state governors that are red states are also considering doing this now. I don't even know
how he could do that.
I hope he doesn't find a way. It's just horrible to have that. That's the first thought.
Well, that just shows you these people are not interested in building electoral coalitions to win elections.
You just said, no, these people aren't interested in people.
Because, like, I mean, that would be like if you came over from Cuba in like the 70s and 80s to escape Castro. You would like do everything you can to make their lives miserable, which is the exact opposite of what we did. We did everything we could to, like, you know, give them amnesty, bring them in, you know, and we did that as a way to, like, aha, look at us, America, capitalism. We don't send people out as refugees. We don't have this kind of problem. We welcome people to our country. It was a Cold War shit. It's like, Greg, you're not doing this right. You haven't read the history books. That's not how Reagan won the Cold War, bro.
You're being an asshole. Like, you're being a really dipshit asshole.
Granted, maybe you're so drunk on Trump juice that you forgot, you know, your dear Lord and Savior Ronald Reagan. But come on, that's not what Reagan was about.
Trump juice. I think that's just called semen.
It's called golden showers.
Hey. I just hope nothing but good comes out of this, because for me, when it comes to just elections in general, whenever it's like, oh, hey, something I voted for or didn't vote for happened, mm-hmm. It's like, that's the easy part. What's the work? What's not only the work, yes, that's got to be put in, but the effect from whoever the opposition is. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens. I hope that this administration doesn't put unnecessary pressure and constraints on just this one singular city. I hope boots don't enter and cross the bridge. Or, like, cut it off. Mm-hmm. It goes for other parts of the world, too. Because Virginia, hey, they could have that same problem. Mississippi, New Jersey. Yep. All these places could be put under siege because that was the threat. Mm-hmm. Yes, we know he backs out from threats or changes them. But still, the president of the United States has said this. You got to take it as a group. You got to take it for what the weight. Yeah. So let's see what happens. Everyone, though, Travis is right. You got to be patient. You can't just be like this by Thanksgiving up in arms. You gotta be patient, but you gotta work as well. It takes a village. Can't just vote on the leader and say it's all on you now. It's like, well, no, you gotta listen and do what he says.
Yeah.
Because you voted for him.
Or help him do something.
Yeah.
Do
help,
some good.
Help. There you go. You said it, help.
Yeah.
Don't do what Republicans are hoping will happen with, for example, these free bus rides. Oh, it's just going to be mobile homeless shelters full of shit and piss and rape. Maybe don't. Then prove them wrong. Mm-hmm. Prove, how about this? New Yorkers, prove everyone wrong and make New York the first utopia of our species. Why not? You guys, New York's awesome. It has music, food, fucking friends. Just alone showed us how great New York can be. Right? I mean, really. I'm not trying to sound stupid. Like, really. So prove everyone wrong, New Yorkers. And maybe fucking LA and, like, the cities in California will now follow it too, because San Francisco and LA to me are just shitholes. Let's now If New York can do it, let's all do it.
Yeah, especially Long Beach, because my mayor, Mayor Richardson, Mayor Rex Richardson, he actually congratulated Mamdani. He made a post. It's like, oh, that's the horse you're hitching yourself. I wasn't sure. I mean, Rex Richardson seemed like a decent guy or whatever, but I was like, oh, you're hitching your horse on the Mamdani wagon? Okay, I'll remember that.
People of Long Beach, prove everyone wrong. Every city, every Democratic city that's been called this shithole, infested, crime-ridden, child-raping meccas, prove now. Everyone has to prove everyone wrong now.
Also, just want to say, for any like libs worried that Trump and the Republicans are going to tie all the Democrats to Mamdani and call all the Democrats socialists, they did that to Obama, like all 8 years of his presidency. You have nothing to worry about. Like, they do this all the time. It's what I call the Hulk argument, where it's like, don't make Hulk angry. It's like Hulk is angry. That's just
He just is.
He just is. Like, you're there, man.
You're just there for the ride.
You're there. There's nothing pending there. They're just gonna call you a socialist, a commie, whatever. Like, and at this point, you should just ignore all those attacks and just assume it's not gonna work. By the way, I just in case anyone was annoyed, I feel I should correct my co-host. It's Mamdani.
Oh, Mamdani.
You're pronouncing it like the way Cuomo does. Assemblyman Mamdani. Yeah, no, there's an N in the end.
There, that's where the N is.
Yes, Mam, like Mama, and then Dani.
Oh, okay.
Like you're saying Danny, but with like a Latin A. Mamdani.
Alrighty then.
But his first name is Austin. Zoran.
It helps me out. I can just say the mayor of New York now. Exactly. I can just say the mayor of New York now.
And you are not the first person to make that joke.
I don't have to worry him now because I'm horrible at saying names sometimes. So thank you, Craig. Thank you, Travis, not only correcting me, but now it's like, hey, I can actually say the proper title.
Yeah. I feel like most people are just going to call him, they're not even calling him by his last name, Mayor Zoran. Because like Zoran, anything with a Z is just awesome. You know, like Fox News, when he was becoming big, they called him Zoran the Destroyer because Fox News is really bad at making socialists seem uncool.
I feel like Fox News just saw Wrath of Khan when it comes to Star Trek and nothing else. When you think about it, anyone there?
All right, that's our election recap. Hopefully we'll do this again. We'll do more election coverage. What, primaries in June for California governor?
A lot's actually to come for this podcast next year, so you'll see, folks. We're gonna try to pump out more.
Maybe there will still be an election next November.
Hey, maybe we'll be a live reaction too.
Hey, maybe.
All right, folks, that was us. Thank you for joining it in on our next day reaction. And thank you just for again. Continually joining on this podcast. We're pushing this hard. We're going to give Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson a run for their money, folks. We're going for it.
We've got some big fun stuff coming up in a few weeks. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone.